You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show from WRCO Radio. Okay, we're in the right spot today. We're in with Steve Board, Richland School District Administrator, to talk about all the things going on, the good things in the Richland District. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Phil. I thought maybe that was a signal that you didn't want to speak to me this morning.
Yeah.
You got it fixed.
Yeah, you were standing mute or something like that. So was I. Good to have you along today as we talk about the many things going on. And I think, first and foremost, the election just completed and the referendum passed.
It did. Both questions of the referendum passed. And, you know, first and foremost, I thank all of the voters that came out, right? I mean, I said all along, we wanted to make sure that people were, had factual and actual information for them to make a decision. And it's not up for me or the school district to try to sway somebody one way or another. That's not our job. Our job is to give, you know, factual information. What does this mean? What does it mean if it passes? What does it mean if it doesn't pass? We tried to, through various avenues, whether it was social media or down here on the morning show or at community forums at the Phoenix Center or held at the school district buildings, tried to inform people, tried to get the information out and then allow people to make a decision. So, both of the questions ended up being relatively close. Question one, which increases our revenue limit, which gives the district more money to operate and specifically to be able to maintain our staffing ratios and then to invest into our people and programming in the form of some wage increases. We, as we've mentioned before, continually lose staff to other school districts and other entities that have just an opportunity to make more money for themselves and their families. And again, I don't begrudge anybody for that. We needed to get that up to a competitive wage so that we could not only attract quality staff all the way from, you know, food service to teachers to IT department to custodials and everything in between, just to provide our students with the best educational experience possible, but also to retain them, you know. And so, again, we saw numerous times where people at the different stages of their career would leave the school district because they simply had an opportunity to make $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 more in other entities. And we certainly can't sit here and say that we're going to now be able to match everything and be able to be the top paying school district around or the top organization around. But I do think we've closed the gap. And so when we look at our 24-25 wages, I think we're going to be very competitive and we're going to have a great opportunity to attract some great quality people to openings, as well as taking care of the people that have spent so much time and so much hard work in the Richland School District and keep them here and show their value that way. The second question was much closer. You know, the original after election night, I believe that it was plus 12 out of about 2,300 votes. After the Board of Canvassing took place a couple days later, which is kind of the school district's official count, there was actually one of the townships had a tally that wasn't taken into consideration, which is exactly why there is a Board of Canvassing, some checks and balances to make sure that everything added up. The final count ended up at a plus 8, I believe it was 1156 to 1148, so plus 8, so very, very close. It obviously shows that it was a very difficult decision for stakeholders and property owners in the school district to weigh out, you know, the benefits of taking care of buildings of a public school and taking care of the property that they have and weighing that out with the financial impact that affects themselves and their families. And again, that's not an easy decision. It does come at the expense of, you know, money out of their pockets. But, our public schools are our publics. And so every single vote mattered in this vote, in this election. And I just thank everybody for getting out and voting and becoming an informed voter and making a good decision.
It's important to proceed wisely, you know, and show people that the money's going to be spent wisely, right?
That's 100%. That is so accurate. You know, we the last thing that we want to do is be accused of not being transparent with every step of the way, every process. We're currently looking into the best ways to have reporting measures on our websites to be able to have all of the information for every dollar that is spent in the referendum. You know, improvement project to be able to be accounted for and for people to be able to see right down to the dollar where things were spent. We want it to be very transparent. We want people to know which projects came in overbid, which came underbid or under budget, I should say. And if it did come in under budget, where was that money used? Probably more than likely in a project that came in over budget. But by the same token, if there's money left over, then the board will have some decisions to make. Do we tackle additional projects? Do we not borrow as much and give some of that back to the taxpayers? What do we do with that? And so those will be conversations that will take place over the next really 18 to 24 months as this project unfolds. You know, I know our staff, you know, they're excited about when things are going to happen, especially in areas like the auditorium upgrade and technical education upgrades, things that our teachers and our students are in right now. But the real reality is, you know, we want to slow down with this process. We want to make sure that we don't make a 20-year decision in a short period of time. We want to make sure that we look at all angles, look at what's best for our school district and the best use of that money. We have to be responsible fiscal agents, and we don't want to just take necessarily the lowest bid or the lowest project or the lowest option. For example, we wouldn't want to, you know, cut corners on our roofing project or any other project really. And maybe we save, you know, $100,000 or maybe even a little bit more than that, but it's only going to last 5 years where we could have spent, you know, a little bit more or, you know, the original amount and maybe it lasts 20 years. Like those kind of decisions, we want to make sure that we are very diligent at and make sure that we go through all the proper channels. And so right now, while it may look to the public and even our staff that we're just kind of in this holding pattern. There are conversations happening nearly daily with our financial experts on the best time to sell the bonds, to get the best interest rate, getting financials in order for us to have the best rating to be able to get the best interest rate, the best way to proceed with construction management, and the timelines that we're looking at. So that's really what from now until through midsummer will look like. And then at some point, likely, their general timelines, but likely middle of summer, we'll start to go out for bid for some of the projects. And most of those will happen in 2025 calendar year, likely late spring, early summer. You know, recently at a board meeting, our board did explore the idea of maybe starting the 24-25 school year early, just to be able to open up the construction window a little longer on the back end. But that was just something that they explored. And in the end, they decided it was too close to the start of school this summer. A lot of summer plans for staff and families have already been determined. So traditional school year, if anybody out there has, you know, caught wind that maybe we were going to alter the school year, that was just a short-lived idea. I thought it was prudent for the board to discuss it, but in the end, we decided to stay the course. Most of the construction will happen next summer. Some of it will continue on during the 25-26 school year and then probably finish up in the summer of 2026. So that's kind of the timeline for construction, but a lot of work to be done. It's an exciting time for the school district, but just an opportunity to get some things fixed and really make it the best educational opportunities for our students. But by the same token, I want to be cognizant of the fact that it was a very close vote, and we want to make sure that we're very diligent and transparent in the process along the way and respect everyone's opinions and thoughts on it.
Another question you probably get, Steve, is about the campus gym. You know, that was talked about a little bit in that possibility, but I think right now it's kind of out of your hands and kind of wait and see, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I hope to continue to have, you know, conversations with the county and the city and the Simons Board. I thought one of the great things that came out of this pre-referendum process, and this started probably a year ago, even before we had decided we were going to referendum, was that collaboration between those groups. And I think that kind of, you know, came full circle at the community forum that was held down at the community or at the Phoenix Center, where we, you know, talked with the county county, the school board had a voice, or excuse me, the school district had a voice. I was able to get in front of close to 200 people, but the county talked about things that were going on in the county, the city as well. Those are conversations I hope don't come to an end just because the school district has now passed a referendum. I want to continue to have those conversations, continue to have a good, strong partnership with all of the entities in our community, because in the end, they truly all are part of our community. One of the things that I had shared with the community at that forum was, you know, there are many, many organizations and people that have many great ideas, and they all are kind of heading in a little bit different direction, and we just really need to take all of that energy and get our arrows aligned and all pointing in the same direction, so that we can really move our community forward. And so I'm excited about the opportunity to represent the school district and work with the community leaders, community business owners, and the local municipalities to really help create a vision for Richland Center, Richland County, and make us, you know, a place where people want to visit, people want to call home, and people want to have business and support the businesses and really move that forward. So to bring that full circle, you know, the campus, you know, those are conversations that we want to continue to have with the county. It is out of our hands right now. I know that there's a process and a timeline that they need to follow, and we respect that process and timeline. Certainly not going to lie, not having the ability to use the gymnasium has certainly impacted our ability to program this school year, because we have had an MOU with the county and the campus for the last couple of years for our folks to be able to use that gymnasium, whether it be for extracurricular activities or PE classes or whatever it might be. And so not having that availability certainly has impacted us. It's sad that we have buildings out on the campus that are not being used right now. And so I hope that that process comes to a conclusion that's beneficial for our community. But I do want to respect the timeline and the process and know that they've got a plan in place as well. And I'll certainly support that process.
You had a school board meeting last night, kind of getting everybody into positions for the next school year, Steve.
Yeah. So with that election, we did have, you know, three board members that were sworn in last night. Two of them were incumbents. Scott Baling and Brady Doudna were incumbents of the school board, so they were sworn in along with Lee Van Landite, who represents the Area 1 East, which is a rural area vacated by Melissa Wirtz, who chose in December not to run for re-election. So Lee and Scott and Brady were all sworn in last night, and we had our reorganizational meeting. Aaron Ambihan was unanimously selected to continue our board presidency. Scott Baling was selected as our vice president. Brady Doudna, our treasurer. Robin Dickman was our clerk, and Neil Huntemer was our acting clerk, along with, you know, several people were placed on different committees, whether it's the foundation board or a CESA 3 delegate or a WASB delegate. So all of that took place, and it was a very a relatively short meeting. I think it lasted about 23, 24 minutes, but really an important meeting because it's the organization of our board for the next school year. And we have a relatively inexperienced board. Over the last few years, we've had longtime board members have stepped down. Brady Doudna is kind of the veteran of the group now. He's been there the longest, but I believe all the other six have been there for 3 years or less. And so an inexperienced board, they've made a lot of progress in the last year. I think a lot of movement forward, a lot of really good things that our board has done. And I think that they really have a good vision for our school district. And I'm excited to see what this board will bring and continue to work with them and really, again, just move our district forward and try to become that district of envy.
They're coming in at a good time, I would say, because, I mean, while decisions have to be made, the tough decisions like cutting staff and things like that, they're not going to have to go through at this time.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, it's much easier for a board member to come in and say, you know, how are we going to spend $27 million in construction projects as opposed to how are we going to cut six staff members, right? It's just a lot easier conversations to have and how you're going to spend some of that money. And so it is a good time. Again, I'm reluctant to say that it's a win because I know that it was a divided community and there are a lot of people who weren't necessarily in support, specifically of question two, and it was very close. And I respect their thoughts. and the process. But the democratic process did play out. We did pass the referendum, and the school district's going to be very financially diligent, and our school board will be very diligent as well in spending that money.
Let's talk about your foundation. I know you could always use some more help there, couldn't you?
Yeah. So our Richland School District Foundation is a kind of a partner of the Richland School District. It's very similar to the Richland Center Athletic Booster Club, which is also a partner of the school district. The Athletic Booster Club, as the name implies, right, really supports more of the athletics and co-curricular opportunities for our students, and a wonderful organization. The foundation sometimes is less heard of, but they're really there to support the fine arts as well as the scholarships, okay? And so some of those athletic events are really supported and by the Richland School District Foundation. And so the Richland School District Foundation has currently has 7 members in it. And in their annual meeting here in January, they expanded their board to 9 members. And so they are actually looking for community members who might have an interest in either the fine arts or the scholarship portion of it. There's a lot of other things that the foundation does, but those are certainly the two big things that they take care of. Outstanding alumni have a place in the homecoming parade. Those kinds of things are all part of the foundation. So we're looking for 2 more folks, 2 more people that reside in the Richland School District that would like to be part of the foundation. There's an opportunity for a board position open. They meet on the 3rd Monday of the month, traditionally, at 5:30. We just had a meeting last night. They're wonderful people. It's not a huge time commitment, but we do want people to be able to dedicate if they have an interest in that. So if they are interested, they can reach out to me, and that might be the easiest at the Richland School District office. But they can also reach out to the foundation president, Chris Shannon, other members of our board, Jamie Bruckner, Jamie Warren, Scott Bailing is the representative from the school board as a board member, Luke Murr, Greg Okenauer, I mentioned Chris Shannon. Any of those folks, happy to answer any questions that they might have. And, you know, we would love for people to express interest, submit a short paragraph or so on how you'd want to be part of the Richland School District Foundation, maybe come to our next meeting in June, again, the 3rd Monday at 5:30. It's held at the Richland Center High School in the district office conference room. And really, it might be a great way for you to support our school district and support those fine arts and musicals and those kinds of things, as well as scholarships for our students. We just have such an opportunity to offer so many scholarships through the foundation to our graduating seniors. It would be a great way for someone to give back. So we would encourage anyone to reach out to one of those folks if they're interested and be part of our team.
Speaking of scholarships, that time is coming up about a month away or so, I think, as you look at your fine arts and all that and your scholarship awards.
It's right around the corner. Our scholarship, all the deadlines, I believe, are passed. So seniors, you know, it's probably too late to apply for most of the scholarships through the foundation or the school district. There certainly might be some out there from the local community that you can still apply for. But our scholarship night, our monetary scholarship night, is held on May 22nd. That's at 6:30 in the Richland Center High School auditorium. And then, as tradition has had it, after the scholarship night, there's usually an opportunity for donors and student recipients to take some pictures. But then after that, there'll be the senior slideshow. And so all of our seniors can attend. And of course, it's open to the public as well. But our seniors get an opportunity to see the senior slideshow, which is always a fun activity. So May 22nd at 6:30, Richland Center High School is our scholarship night. Any seniors who are receiving an award will get a letter sent home so that the parents know that they are receiving a monetary award. But it's certainly open for anyone to attend and anyone to be a part of and experience, you know, the thousands and thousands of dollars that the Richland School District and the School District Foundation and the generous donors of our community offer to our seniors as an opportunity to extend their education past high school. And we're so blessed that we have such generous people in this community to support our seniors and their education moving forward.
That's something that's really changed. When you and I were in school, there were some scholarship opportunities, but nowhere near, I don't think, the community support and statewide support that they get now.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. I mean, I remember there being some scholarships opportunities available, but the number that are available now is just astronomical. I would love to see some data on how how it's grown just locally or around the area or even statewide, but just exponentially, I would guess that, there's so many opportunities that oftentimes anyone who applies for a scholarship will end up getting something. And you know, college is expensive, right? I've got a daughter that's a freshman now at Stevens Point, and it isn't cheap for folks to go to college and to get, whether it's a technical college degree or certificate or a 2-year associate's degree or a 4-year degree or even beyond. That doesn't come without a financial expense and a financial impact. And you know, scholarships help. They don't cover everything, but they certainly help. And so, again, just very thankful that we have some very generous people in our community to help support our youth in their scholarship endeavors or their educational endeavors.
For the seniors, we're getting down to the final band concerts and, you know, different things. I know Forensics had state last weekend, so we're getting down to some of those year-end things.
Yeah, we sure are. And, you know, when we come back from spring break, you know, and the weather turns just a little nicer, although maybe the last week isn't necessarily indicative of that, but there's a little bit of senioritis that kicks in, but you do get a lot of those, you know, last moments too. You know, the last band concert, the last music concert, the last sporting event, you know, the last finals, last whatever it might be that they're doing. And so it's exciting for our seniors. You know, they're excited. There's also some apprehension because for many of them, they're excited about, you know, closing this chapter, but also a little nervous about what the next chapter might bring and a little uncertainty on what they're going to do. But we know that they're going to do really well. They're going to be very successful in life. There's some great students up here at our high school and in our senior class, and we expect them to do real well. Graduation is June 2nd. That's Sunday, June 2nd. I know that there have been years where it has been the Sunday prior to Memorial Day or Memorial Day weekend, just because of the way the calendar has fallen. There's policy that indicates that graduation can't be more than a handful of days before the end of school, and because school doesn't end until June 5th or 6th, the Memorial Day weekend, just be the way the calendar fell, was a little early. So I want to make sure people understand that it's not Memorial Day weekend. That calendar's been set for some time now. June 2nd is graduation day. That'll be a fun day for our seniors. You mentioned our forensics team. They competed at the state competition last Friday. We had a great turnout there and a great representation there. We ended up with 4 golds, Catherine Hall, Ella Hillesheim, Madeline Huber, and Mara Delagrave all got gold, received gold winners. We had a handful of silvers, some 2 silvers, Lucy Joyce and Cassidy Mancilla. Both were silvers. Then we had 5 bronze members as well, and just a great turnout at the state competition for forensics. And so, you know, oftentimes we talk about sports and athletics and those things, but we have a lot of other opportunities for students. Forensics is a great way. We've got, you know, all of the soul ensemble and those kinds of things are kind of wrapping up or have been wrapped up. Our fine arts at Richland Center High School is top notch, and we have some wonderful students that participate in a lot of different events. And it's kind of exciting to show them off.
And indeed, and I think what you mentioned, those students, they're all involved in other things too. That's always impressive when you see those, you know, they're multitasking, but forensics is something they're going to use their whole life.
Isn't that the truth? I enjoy, you know, watching our forensic students perform, you know, from the comic skits that they may have to the poetry or the poems or the drama. I mean, it's just so talented and so useful skill, as you just mentioned, for them to be able to get up in front of people and be able to speak. And it's just a skill that can carry on forever, unlike my basketball skills, which are basically null and void at this point.
So. I hear you. But, you know, as you look at open enrollment, and by the way, that ends April 30th, so there's a little bit of time left on that as well. But, you know, you hear about students moving here and there for sports or whatever. But I would think that the Richland District would be a big draw for your fine arts as well, with your music programs and everything you have going there too.
Yeah, you know, and again, I've said this before, I support all public education around the area, and certainly not trying to, you know, degrade any of the other, you know, great school districts that we have around the area, but I would put our fine arts programs up against anybody in the state, not just in the area. It is truly incredible. The concerts, the performances, the activities and clubs and fine arts that we have to offer at our school district is truly second to none. And if they have not gotten an opportunity to see our fine arts lately, they're missing out on a real treat. And so, you know, the open enrollment window, as you mentioned, closes here at the end of April. You know, there are a lot of opportunities at the Richland School District, and we would encourage all parents and students to find an educational setting that helps their child succeed. And if the Richland School District can help with that, if there's opportunities that the Richland School District has with the fine arts or with our clubs or opportunities or our AP courses or athletics, we would invite them to come and visit us and take a look at what we have to offer and maybe consider us. And by the same token, you know, if there are other districts that you know, have something that child is can excel at and do better at, we encourage them to explore those options as well. But the Richland School District certainly has made some significant strides in the past few years. We've got a wonderful staff. I've mentioned on the show before, you know, 20 students came back to the district that had been open and rolling out. It's been a wonderful experience for them. And we anticipate getting many more students coming back and visiting the Richland School District, rediscover the Richland School District. There's a video out right now that's kind of promoting that. And I would encourage you to not consider the Richland School District what it was maybe in 2014, 15, or whatever year maybe there was a bad experience, because it has changed and it's changed for the positive. And I think there's some wonderful opportunities there for us.
Steve Board, Richland School District Administrator, our guest on today's morning show. We'll have more coming up. The administrator of the Richland School District, Steve Board, is our guest today on the morning show, talking about some great things going on at the Richland School District. Well, this is the time, I know, when you're looking ahead to the next year, and staffing becomes one of the top priorities, doesn't it?
Absolutely. This is the hot window right now for staffing, not just for teaching, but for any openings that we might have. And we would encourage anybody out there that wants to be part of the Richland School District to consider us. One of the things we talked right away at the beginning of the show, the referendum question one that put a little bit more money into the district's budget from an operational standpoint. And one of the things that the district wanted to do was become a competitively paying district. And so, and that wasn't just for teachers, right? That affected all of our staff and all of our support staff and custodial people as well. And so, you know, currently we do have a handful of custodial positions open. We're now over $20 an hour for all of our custodial positions. That's about a $5 increase from about 3 years ago. So a significant increase that we've made. Some of those positions are as much as 23 plus starting off. And then again, it's a great work environment with great benefits and a very clean atmosphere. Lots of support staff positions, not only now that we could use immediately for the rest of the school year, but also support staff positions for next school year. Whether it's a classroom aide or perhaps someone who is working with a child on a one-to-one basis that might have some special needs or a disability. We've got a lot of those opportunities. We've also got opportunities in our food service department as well, clerical departments as well. All of those positions, they start off at $18.82 all the way up to $19.99 an hour for those. Again, great benefits. Many of those, not all of them, but many of them are term positions, so you're working a little bit more of the traditional school year with some summers off. That's usually very beneficial for folks who maybe want a work schedule that aligns with their son or daughter's school schedule. So this would give you the ability to stay home during the summer and still work during days when school's in session, and again have a great job in an exciting environment, and getting a chance to interact and make some positive influences on students. And then, you know, we have teaching positions. The board recently approved you know, a new wage schedule for the teachers. We start off at $45,000 for someone right out of college with their bachelor's degree. But where they really impacted it was for veteran teachers. And so the top end of our teaching scale, if you have been, you know, have experience of 10 plus years and have, you know, significant credits beyond your bachelor's or master's degree, you know, we can get you in the $75,000 range, which is a significant improvement, and again, very competitive with area school districts, if not more. And so, you know, look at our website, look on WeCan, look on Indeed for those job opportunities that we have. We've recently added some new positions at a recent board meeting. Trying to be proactive, Phil, with the potential to have an increase of Spanish-speaking families in our community. And speaking with community leaders, we are anticipating having an influx of Spanish-speaking families moving into our community late this summer, early fall. And we want to make sure that the public school is a place that not only welcomes them and supports them, but provides them with an educational opportunity that they can thrive in.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today.
This is to create a cozy and functional living space that fits your needs and budget. From lift chairs to adjustable beds and small dining sets, we have a variety of comfortable and affordable options to choose from. Visit our showroom today at 172 South Church Street and let us help you make your new house feel like home.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time at 6:30 is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice, and by Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such, the friendly feed store. Today's forecast, mostly sunny and cool, a high of 56, a low down to 30 on Tuesday night, on Wednesday night, and then into Thursday, 62, with plenty of sunshine before some rain coming up this weekend. Right now, sunshine and 33 degrees.
Bailey Paint and Decorating reminds you that the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure exactly that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know that getting the right product is the secret of success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you have the right color and products and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, Downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee, and here is what you need to know. Our top story, UW-Platteville is moving out. The university notified the Richland County Board yesterday that after careful consideration and despite tremendous efforts expended by Richland County and the universities of Wisconsin over these past many months, UW-Platteville will completely vacate the Richland County campus by July 1st, 2024. Jeff Barant, Vice President of University Relations, added, "As you know, Governor Evers has recently signed into law legislation authored by Representative Kurtz and Senator Markline, which would provide $2 million to any county where a branch campus has been closed. Once we finalize the end of our MOU, it is our understanding that Richland County would be eligible for these funds, which can be used to redevelop the campus facilities to better serve the community. This potential investment by the state of Wisconsin represents the full consideration of the costs expressed by Richland County." Richland County Administrator Candace Pesch responded, "Richland County is dismayed and disheartened to share the correspondence received from the Universities of Wisconsin today. Despite ongoing attempts to negotiate a mutually agreeable end to our partnership, the Universities of Wisconsin has made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the Richland County campus by July 1st, 2024, with no compensation or settlement agreement in place. It is disappointing that the Universities of Wisconsin system is is shirking their responsibilities. At no time under any circumstance did the legislature indicate that receipt of the $2 million grant would absolve the UW University system of their obligations to affected counties. Richland County, which had previously relied on the contractual relationship between the parties, is now facing a potential economic crisis due to the university's decision. The County Board of Supervisors will consult further with partners and council to determine and evaluate all available options going forward. If you have any questions regarding these developments, you can call Administrator Candace Pesch at 608-649-3001. Katrina Bauer, the mother of missing 3-year-old Elijah Vu, is asking for her bail to be reduced from a $15,000 cash bond to a signature bond. Her attorney filed a motion in Manitowoc County Circuit Court to allow her to be released on her recognizance. Bauer was arrested on felony child neglect charges in February. No one has been charged with Elijah's disappearance. At the Capitol, an appeal to close the state's Green Bay prison. Eloise Village President Jim Rafter, among those taking part in a roundtable on Tuesday. Rafter said local officials have done everything they can to highlight the challenges posed by Green Bay Correctional Institution, but have kind of hit a roadblock. The 126-year-old prison is overcrowded with close to 1,000 men living in what many consider to be inhumane conditions. Efforts to close it and replace it began 8 years ago. Local officials want the legislature and governor to prioritize getting that accomplished. The Department of Natural Resources is rolling out new regulations on walleye fishing ahead of next weekend's fishing opener. Fisheries Director Justine Haas says they're expanding the 3-bag limit across most of the state. Anglers can only keep 3 fish on the water they're fishing on if the bag limit is 3, but may still keep 5 in total for the day. There's also a limit on sizes that may differ from lake to lake. Make sure you check the rules at the boat launch and find out more online at dnr.wi.gov. An inmate at the Techeeta prison pleads not guilty in the death of another inmate. 28-year-old Taylor Sanchez was in Fond du Lac County Court on Tuesday to enter the plea to a charge of first-degree intentional homicide. Investigators say she fatally beat her prison roommate, 69-year-old Cindy Schultz-Yates, last July. Autopsy reports showed Schultz-Yates died of blunt force trauma. No trial date has been set for Sanchez, who's scheduled to return to court in July. Schultz-Yates was serving a life sentence for the 2006 death of her husband, Ken Yates, in Marathon County. Court records indicate she was preparing an appeal of that conviction. It is spring, which means it is also planting season. Many individuals plan to raise crops to help feed their families or even themselves. If you're planting this season, maybe you can consider planting extra to help feed others. Dr. Jerry Bauer is from the Richland Community Food Pantry.
This is the annual Plant for the Pantry appeal, and I'm appealing on behalf of the pantry for people to think about planting an extra row or even just 2 or 3 seeds and bringing the excess produce to the pantry when it's ripe, of course.
The clients of the pantry are very appreciative of the Plant for the Pantry donations, including produce that was distributed last year.
It went very well. We had usually at least a couple hundred pounds of produce each week for the pantry to distribute, and the clients really appreciate it. And they remark on it that, boy, this is some good produce that we're getting here.
Plant for the Pantry donations are currently being accepted. If you wish to donate, Dr. Jerry Bauer recommends the best times to drop off your produce at the pantry.
Bring it on a Wednesday. That's the only day that we operate the pantry. But bring it on a Wednesday and any time after 9 o'clock and hopefully before 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So in case they need to do some processing to get it ready to hand out to the clients, they've got time to do that before the pantry distribution begins at 4 o'clock.
The Richland Community Food Pantry is in the Lighthouse Chapel building located at 345 South Karens Avenue in Richland Center. When you drop off your Plant for the Pantry donations, please use the back entrance. Drive-up distribution takes place every Wednesday from 4 until 5:30. Distribution will be given to each vehicle that is in line before 5:30.
green grass, yellow dandelions, and pesty moles. Hello, spring. Ellie here at Chet's. We have all of your lawn care needs for this spring season. Lawn seeds, fertilizers, and even mole control. Our ongoing sunflower seed sale will surely keep your birds singing in this beautiful weather. Warm weather also means chick season, but we don't just have chickens. We have baby pheasants available as well. We'd like to give a special thank you to all of our friends at Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such, because without you, there wouldn't be us. Stop down and see us at 880 North Orange Street, or give us a call at 647-8833 to place your pheasant order today.
Today's forecast calls for mostly sunny and cool conditions, a high of 56, clear and frosty again tonight, a low of 30, tomorrow 62 before some rain this weekend and thunderstorms possible. Yesterday we were at 67, we did receive a trace of precipitation here at the studios. Reports of some below freezing temperatures from our area listeners this morning. We have been as low as 33 and it's 34 degrees.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
Step into a world of charm and discovery at the Avoca Mercantile. Embrace the joys of spring. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Explore the extensive array of unique and budget-friendly finds, from exquisite crafts to delightful home decor and gifts for all occasions. With new arrivals daily, there's always a fresh surprise in store at the Avoca Mercantile. Support local artisans and treat yourself to a delightful shopping experience. They can't wait to welcome you.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. It was a busy high school sports day yesterday. We'll get to the recap next.
April is Alcohol Awareness Month, and the Richland Hospital and Clinics is encouraging you to check in on your drinking. Consuming excessive alcohol can lead to severe health problems, including stroke, cancer, and heart disease. It can also lead to depression, less restful sleep, and cause problems at home, work, and with friends and family. Treatment can help. Call 211 for support from the Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline.
Richland Center lost 9-4 in baseball at Platteville yesterday in a game heard on the radio. The game was tied at 1 until the Hillmen scored 5 times in the third inning. Jesse Key slammed a grand slam home run to pace the Hillmen to a lead they would not give up. Richland Center started a comeback when Lane Miller hit a 3-run home run in the top of the 5th. The Hillmen, though, scored 2 in the bottom of the 5th and went on to win by 5 runs. Jacob McDonald, 3-for-4 at the plate. Ethan Hady and Lane Miller each went 2-for-3, and Wes Bosworth had an RBI for Richland Center. Elsewhere yesterday, Cuba City edged Riverdale by the score of 4-3. Chase Chitwood led the Chieftains, going 3-for-4. Andre Tainter, Emmett Drone, and Michael Hernan all had RBIs in the game. It was a busy sports schedule yesterday, and lots of baseball and softball scores from the area yesterday. Checking out some softball scores, it was Dodgeville 18 and Richland Center 8, while Wisconsin Dells bested Mauston. That final score was 21-11. Girls soccer, Dodge Point over Richland Center 9-0. And in track action from yesterday, lots of meets, including the Lee Griffin invite at Kickapoo. Some top finishers for Ithaca Weston: Clayton Lee first in the 1600, Kaylee Peterson first in the 800. Team-wise, Westby took first for the girls, Kickapoo Lafarge second, Ithaca Weston was fifth, Bangor was first in the boys' section. It was Kickapoo Lafarge and North Crawford battling, North Crawford getting second, Kickapoo Lafarge third, Ithaca Weston boys finished ninth. The Platteville midseason meet was held yesterday. No team scores available as far as individuals, and a highlight for Richland Center yesterday. They have the top three place winners in the 200. Fletcher Harper was first, Kevin Hernandez second, and Robert Button was third. Malachi Fretz was first in the 400 yesterday for the Hornet boys. Among the highlights, Danica Pauls first in the high jump and second as well in the pole vault. So Ella Ewing took first in the long jump. Madeline Huber was first in shot and third in discus. Among the highlights yesterday for Richland Center. Also, River Valley's Logan Neighbors was second in the shot put at the midseason meet at Platteville yesterday. The SWAL midseason meet was held at Riverdale. Tim Bailey first in the 100 and in the 400, and Noah Arrington took a 200 first place finish. Dietrich Buchholz was first in the high jump for the Riverdale Chieftains yesterday on their home course. And the Riverdale 4x4 girls did well yesterday. Riley Bierce, Mallory Meese, Olivia Meese, and Jenna Wheatonen combined for first place. Southwest Conference golf meet yesterday. Platteville was the top team, scoring 162. It was Richland Center taking second with a 170, and River Valley was third with a 171. Roman Johnson had the top score in the back nine, 36 yesterday. The team totaled 170. And for River Valley, their top score came from Gavin Davidson, who fired a 40. The Indiana Pacers found their shooting touch, hitting more than 55% from the floor to beat the Bucks 125-108. That evens the NBA playoff series at a game apiece. They did it despite the second straight big game from Damian Lillard. He hit 6 3-pointers and scored 34 points in the action last night. The series switches to Indianapolis with no indication of whether Milwaukee star Giannis Antetokounmpo will be available after missing time with an injury. Veteran Andrew McCutchen led off the game with a home run for the second straight night Tuesday, getting his Pirates started on the way to a 2-1 victory. Pinch hitter Connor Joe's RBI single in the sixth was the game-winning hit. Milwaukee's only run came on a solo home run by Gary Sanchez in the eighth. Rookie Tobias Myers took the loss in the first major league start for him. Former Pirate Bryce Wilson gets the start for the Brewers tonight for their next action. The Cubs were winners against Houston. That final score was 7-2 yesterday in Major League Baseball. That's an update on sports. I'm Phil Nee.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. Let an LS Tractor do all those jobs that need to get done. They make tractors from 21 to 101 horsepower. These excellent tractors have hydrostatic transmissions for ease of use.
So with that, we are hiring a translator. It's a full-time position, but there is a teaching component to it for 20%. So it's essentially an 80% translator position. That will provide us with much better opportunities to communicate with families that don't speak English when we have to make a phone call home, whether it be for health reasons or other reasons, trying to get a hold of family members, or if a parent comes into the school district or needs communication in a different way, we will now be able to keep them informed and be in a better situation to serve them and their students' needs. In addition, and this is probably one of the things I'm most excited about, we haven't hired yet, but we've created a position at the elementary level. Primarily, we're thinking grades 3 through 6. It could fluctuate a little bit on either end of that. But this will basically be a reading and math teacher at the elementary level, an ELA and math teacher. But the requirement is that they're bilingual. And so what we want to do with these students is they're learning their foundational educational skills. They're reading and their math, learning how to read, learning how to do math, because those are the core subjects that then just, you know, transform into all others, right? If you don't have a good reading base, it's really, really difficult to understand social studies or science. If you don't have a good math base, it's really difficult to understand problem solving and logic strategies and things like that. And so by getting students a bilingual teacher, where these students who have trouble speaking English can learn math and reading in their native language, we just think that that's going to be a tremendous advantage for them to not be held down by not only trying to learn content, but trying to do it in a language that you don't fully understand. This will give them those foundational skills and help promote their learning as they get immersed into our community and into the English language, we'll be able to support them with a teacher that can speak Spanish as well. And so we're very excited about that opportunity and very excited to be a place of destination for these families that are moving into our community. And again, we want them to be welcome. We want them to be feel safe, and we want them to get a good education. And we want to do everything that we can to support all of our students, including those that don't necessarily speak fluent English. And so I'm excited about those staffing opportunities. I'm excited about the wages that we have to offer for all of our employees throughout the district, and would encourage anyone who wants to be a part of that to reach out, look on the website, see if there's any jobs that they might be interested in, and apply and come join our great team.
Staff retirements, do you have a few longtime teachers hanging it up this year?
Yeah, we do, as we do every year. You know, we have a handful of teachers. I'll likely forget one of the names, so I'm not going to try to just go off the cuff here, but we do have, you know, that's always a sad part about mm-hmm. the end of the year. It's a little bit like sports. You know, you have a great year and a great time, and you have a lot of wins, and then all of a sudden it comes to this abrupt halt, and, you know, you lose that game in the sectionals, and all of a sudden you realize now that you're graduating some key players and some seniors. It's very similar in the school year. We've got some longtime teachers who are part of our district that will be hanging it up, and they'll be moving on to the next chapter in their life. And we wish them the best and wish them wonderful opportunities. We have an end of the year celebration with all of our staff on the June 6th, which is the day after students depart. We have one more day of in-service. And in the morning, we have a district-wide breakfast, and we recognize those individuals in a setting, you know, for district employees. And it's a great time. It's an exciting time, but it's also a sad time as these longtime members of our staff do depart and do retire and move on to the next stage in their life.
I was going to ask you about the FACE team. Can you explain that?
Yeah, you bet. So FACE is F-A-C-S, FACE. It's Family and Consumer Science. It's home ec, you know, for those of us who kind of grew up in that world. That's kind of the courses that we're talking about here. They had recently a really exciting opportunity. Ashley Westerfeld is our FACE teacher, and they had an opportunity. The DPI in the state of Wisconsin put on a big contest every year for students to develop a recipe and to make a recipe that meets the school nutritional guidelines. And the whole goal is to create a great tasting meal under those nutritional guidelines that school districts around the state can actually serve and make that's within budget and meets the nutritional guidelines. And so there are over 60 teams that competed this year, and they take the top five, and they have essentially a cook-off at MATC in Madison. And that state competition is happening on May 16th of this year at MATC. And the Richland School District has a team representing one of those five. And so we will be taking a team of four individuals along with Ms. Westerfeld down to Madison. We wish them the best. They have taco calzone with melon salsa is their recipe that they are working with our food service on and perfecting. And I'm told it's fantastic. I can't wait to get a taste of it and try it out. But we do wish them the best and super excited about them representing at the state level the Richland School District.
When they go there, do they have to make it like a competition while they're there?
It's my understanding.
Wow.
Is that you perfect it, and then when you get there, you will actually make this meal, and these students will be representing us and cooking this meal. And based on the title, I don't know how they could lose.
That
sounds delicious.
Yeah, if they're looking for community taste testers, volunteers, let me know there.
No, that's right.
I'll be glad to help out. You're completing the first year with your partner's school, Steve, and that seems to have gone very well.
It's gone exceptionally well. You know, we knew that when we started this partner school, the alternative school that's held at what was formerly known as East Hall on the eastern part of the UW-Richland campus, which the school district bought that building, we wanted to start that off slow, right? We didn't want to you know, even though we knew we had a need for lots of students that needed to or wanted to do school in a non-traditional format, a little bit more of a project-based learning, a little bit more of a hands-on partnerships with communities, things like that, with community businesses, things like that. So we limited it to a dozen. We ended up with 13 that ended up joining the partner school this year. Next year, we will have an additional aide, an adult aide. That's actually one of the positions that's currently open right now. So if anybody's interested in alternative education or helping out in there, that aide will give us two adults, and that will allow us to more than double our enrollment for next year. And so we're anticipating somewhere in the 26 to 27, 28 range, which will be over a couple dozen applications for the partner school are taking place right now. It is kind of a, the DPI calls it a lottery system, where once you meet the certain criteria, anybody who is interested in that, their name literally gets put in a hat and are drawn out. Those that are currently going to the partner school have first opportunity to continue their education there. But with the expansion there, we're anticipating about 12 to 15 spots opening up with the partner school for students around the area. Again, the open enrollment process is open. It's one of the only school districts in this area that has a school like this. This is a true alternative school. It is not meant for troubled students. It's not meant for students who have had, high discipline issues or expulsions, things like that. That's not what this is for. This is for students that just don't work well in the traditional brick and mortar, sit in a desk, listen to a lecture, do some homework. And I maybe have some anxiety that they're fighting through and they need a little bit more of an independent learning, or they have a pathway where they just need to do school in a way that interests them. And I've mentioned this when we first started it, that if a student's interested in welding or computer coding or whatever it might be, they can get their core subject areas and their education centered around those interests. It doesn't just have to be, the curriculum that is being taught at the high school. It can be a curriculum that's tailored for them. We're very excited about it. It's been a huge success. Kim Siefkis is our lead teacher down at the partner school under the direction of Dr. Sherry Johnson, our director of curriculum and instruction. It's been a fantastic success. We want to open this success up to other students. So again, we're expanding that to, somewhere, between 24 and 30 applicants. And then we hope to expand it even further the next year. If this continues to grow like we think it could, this could really be a game changer for the Richland School District and the way education is done.
You're doubling students. Is there enough room at the current location then?
Yeah, there's plenty of room at that location. And the way school kind of works there is they're there for half days actually in the building, and then the other half of their day, the other part of their school is done through those connections with the community. And so if somebody is interested in welding, they may have a job shadow or work set up where they're going to a place and they're learning how to weld on site at a factory or at a automotive industry or whatever that might be. And they're required to attend because that's part of their school, and they will actually get credit for doing that work study component. And so by having that outside connection, it means that they're not necessarily at that building for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And that actually opens up the opportunity to expand it to hold more than maybe what the building holds, because they're not all there at the same time.
And the musical is going to be coming up. I think there's no secret to what you're going to put on this year. It sounds like Grease is coming up, right?
Grease is coming up, and what a great musical that will be. Anybody who knows the tunes, knows the music, it's going to be an exciting musical for us. Liz Niedmeyer will be heading that up with the help of our Richland School District Foundation, which we talked about earlier. They support that play and that musical financially. But there will be a lot of opportunities coming up between now and November 8th, 9th, and 10th, when the performance weekend will be done through fundraisers that they will have to help support that, to tryouts. The initial tryouts are going to be happening during school hours in May. So students should be on the lookout for announcements on when that'll happen. And then callbacks would happen probably at a different time. But it's an exciting time. You know, all of our musicals are so well done. All of our plays are so well done. But there's just something special about some of these mainstay musicals. And Grease is certainly one of those that just has stood the test of time, and everyone can enjoy it. So mark November 8th, 9th, and 10th on your calendars. And if you have a student that wants to try out, make sure that they're listening to those announcements. Talk to Liz Niemeyer, our choir director, and I think it's just going to be an outstanding show.
That'll be a fun one. And the Richland District has always done a good job of getting everyone involved. You see athletes up there on the stage and, you know, trying to manage their time and get into practices and you know, in both places. And
so. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's one of the reasons why they choose the weekend that they choose, because it's kind of the performance weekend is right before some of the winter sports will start, and fall sports are typically over by then. So it's a great opportunity for all of our students to have an opportunity. And I don't know that they'll turn away anybody. So if there's somebody who has an interest, whether it be in helping to design the set or construction or actually being on stage and performing, please reach out and we'll get them involved. We want the kids involved.
That's a typical big cast, that's for sure.
It is. So, and Liz Niemeyer was just saying last night that it's this is a bigger cast than normal, and we're going to need kind of all hands on deck, but also up to the challenge, and I'm sure it'll be great.
One of the things you talked about with your referendum was updating the sound system and things like that at the auditorium. Will that be done before that? Or
likely not? Won't happen before November.
Okay.
Again, that's just I know everybody wants to get going on this stuff, but by the time we get through all of the specs and the bidding process and then the installation, it's probably going to be something that will be you know, taking place after this performance. Maybe in a perfect world, everything lines up and it is, but the last thing we would want to do is disrupt, you know, the performance as well. So it likely will be happening in early 2025.
Wonderful. Thanks for coming in, Steve. We'll talk to you in May.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, Steve Ward, District Administrator for the Richland District on today's morning show.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the Director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to